From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
All right, welcome into Inside the Parker. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a great show we have for you today. Former major leaguer and broadcaster Rod Allen drops by the podcast. Also, Eric Bolin, who covers the New York Yankees for Newsday, he'll also tell us how the Bronx Bombers are doing. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
Giancarlo Stanton is raking for the New York Yankees. What an unbelievable turnaround it has been for the former National League MVP. Stanton was scuffling earlier in the season, had gone through a horrendous slump, but has really turned it around. And going into Wednesday night, he had a 10-game hitting streak. Tuesday night, he went 4-for-5, including a 2-run home run against the Astros. He has a 10-game hitting streak. He's raised his batting average from 158, a season low, where people were booing him in the Bronx and wanted him off the team and cut and released and all that nonsense, to now batting 297. And along with him swinging the bat well, the Yankees are winning. Going into Wednesday, they had won 4 in a row, and they had won 6 of 7, and finally were over the 500 mark this season. So Giancarlo Stanton has reemerged as a slugger for the New York Yankees.
Number two.
The Toronto Blue Jays are going back home, finally. It was announced on Wednesday that the team will move back to its home in Toronto, where since the COVID, they have been misplaced, displaced, weren't able to play up in Toronto. So now it looks like they will return on June 1st and start playing Major League Baseball again back in Toronto. Instead of they had played in Buffalo, they had played down in Florida, they were playing all, they were vagabonds, you know, like all over the place. So I'm sure people in Toronto will be very happy to get the Blue Jays back. Some normalcy returning as Canada has opened up the door for the Blue Jays to return home to Toronto.
Number three.
The Los Angeles Dodgers are currently garbage. How about hot garbage? It has been unbelievably bad for them. They can't hit. The bullpen can't protect leads. Some of their starters have been knocked around like rag dolls. They got off to an unbelievably hot start, 14-2, and people were saying the Dodgers were going to set the all-time win record. And people were like, they're loaded on paper. Tuesday night, they lost a doubleheader to the Cubs. And going into Wednesday, they have just been scuffling and have lost game after game after game. I get it. The Dodgers have injuries. I'm not knocking it. I'm not poo-pooing it. But they still have way too much talent for this team to be struggling as badly as they have. All teams go through slumps, but this is a prolonged slump. Nobody could imagine that the Dodgers would be this bad at any point during the baseball's regular season.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome in Rod Allen, a former Major League outfielder and broadcaster, joining us here on the Inside the Parker podcast. Rob, what's going on, my man?
Hey, what's up, buddy? Hey, I'm in your stomping grounds. I'm in New York City, so if you hear a cab or two honking them horns like they do, it's not my fault.
All right, I got you. Be careful out there in the big city, no doubt. Speaking of the big city, we just saw Chili Davis and his assistant get fired by the New York Mets. Obviously, the Mets were scuffling. They have some really good starting pitching, Rod, but they've been scuffling offensively. And Francisco Lindor, who they gave $341 million, was mired in a terrible slump. You are a hitting instructor. You know how tough it is. Is this just a game where if things aren't going right, they're going to come for somebody's heads and ahead, and that's why Chili Davis got let go?
Well, Chili Davis is a dear friend of mine. I've known Chili since our minor league days, and we've been great friends since 1984. So, you know, I'm in the trenches with Chili. I mean, I think what happened to Chili here, Rob, is the same thing that happened to him in Chicago. You've got a lot of younger players now, and they thought that, you know, Chili Davis didn't relate to the younger millennial guys. And I don't know yet, but I've kind of read the papers here yesterday, and what I'm hearing from their general manager is that, what in a word, what he was saying is that he wasn't quite prepared. You know, and there's more information that these players should have. So basically that tells me that, you know, they want more, analytics involved. And maybe Chili wasn't reluctant to doing that, but maybe he just didn't have that skill. Who knows? When a guy is 60 years old, he's been doing it a different way. It may be tough to relate in a different way. But Chili's an outstanding hitting coach. He's been great everywhere he's been. Everybody he's hit. It's just one of those things where they had to make a move early, I think.
Let me ask you about the San Francisco Giants. Who are they and what's going on and how real are they, Rod?
Well, I mean, Rob, you know, you can never take a team for granted in Major League Baseball. You've been covering the game for a long, long time. I mean, you vote for the Hall of Fame players. I mean, so you're in the know. And you know, when a team gets rolling like the Giants are rolling right now, and then you get some other teams in that division that aren't quite, you know, living up to their expectations, you can start to steamroll. And next thing you know, you're in the hunt come July, the trade deadline, and your general manager goes out, and they've got a great general manager in Farhan Zaidi, goes out and does something and makes another move or two and makes you even more better and more competitive. I like what Crawford's doing. Buster Posey's back this year after COVID. Their pitching has been some of the best pitching in all of baseball. I don't think people know that, but they got outstanding pitching, and they're getting Johnny Cueto back, I think, today or tomorrow. So they're only going to get better, but we'll see.
There's another team in the American League that has come out of nowhere. Nobody thought that they would be as good as they are, and that's the Kansas City Royals. Again, what are we missing? Can they sustain this, or is this just the team getting hot for a short period of time?
I just love what Dayton Moore is doing in Kansas City. He's the man in charge there, and he's a wonderful general manager. He's, you know, started in Atlanta with John Schuerholz, and John Schuerholz is in the Hall of Fame. And one day Dayton's going to be there too, man. But I thought he took advantage, Rob, of the free agent market as well as anybody in the sport last year. I mean, there were a lot of free agents out there. He made some trades. He got Michael A. Taylor. He got Benintendi. He rebuilt that bullpen again. But I think he himself is the main reason why that team is as good as it is because of the moves that he makes. And he's got a good leader again in Mike Matheny. So I like what Kansas City is doing for sure.
Our guest is former Major League outfielder and broadcaster Rod Allen joining us here on Inside the Parker. We know the Dodgers are scuffling, but I want to go to Dustin May, one of their young pitchers who they had, you know, really high hopes on, a flamethrower. Is going to miss the rest of the 2021 season, undergo Tommy John surgery. How big of a blow is that to the Dodgers?
They'll be okay. I mean, I love Dustin May, and I don't want to, you know, ever make light of anybody getting an injury, but the Dodgers are so gifted and they're so talented that they will get back on track. They've lost 12 of their last 16 games after winning 14 of their first 16, I guess. But, you know, they've got way too much talent, way too many skills. They've lost a lot of one-run games, which tells me their bullpen is not quite in order. But once Doc Roberts gets it in order, the Dodgers are going to be as good as everybody thought they were going to be.
Last question, Rod. Shohei Ohtani, we've seen him. We've seen the guy throw 100 miles an hour in a game and hit a home run in the same game. I mean, he's such a talent. Will he be able to keep this up all season? He was supposed to start on Wednesday night again. I would love to see if he could pull it off for the whole year where he's hitting and pitching. Do you think this will hold up?
He's must-see TV, Rob. And if it does hold up, we're talking about the MVP in the American League. I mean, for a guy to throw a baseball 100 miles an hour and hit a ball 450 feet. And not only that, man, this dude has speed, too. He can steal a bag, man. This guy is a baseball player. And we've never seen anybody like this in baseball. I've never seen anybody like this in baseball in my 45 years. You've never seen anybody like this in baseball. There's been some guys that can pitch a little bit, hit a little bit, but nothing like this guy. This guy is must-see TV, and every time I get a chance to watch him, I turn to the Angels game.
No doubt about it. I'm with you on Shohei. Thanks, Rod. Appreciate your knowledge, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you for having me.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
We're 1 month into the 2021 campaign, and we're already seeing who is benefiting from the truncated 2020 season and maybe a little bit of bad weather. And it's the pitchers. The month of April saw the league hit just 230, the lowest league-wide batting average since 1968, the so-called year of the pitcher, which led to the lowering of the pitcher's mound to level the playing field. The league on-base percentage of 309 was also the lowest since 1968, while the league OPS of 698 was the lowest in April since 1992. There were also 6,924 strikeouts in the month of April and only 5,832 hits, the first month in MLB history with 1,000 or more strikeouts than walks. Only 27 qualified hitters posted a 300 average or better, the fewest since 24 players did it in, you guessed it, April of 1968. The 9.3 league-wide strikeouts per nine innings was an all-time high for the month of April, continuing a trend where a new record has been set each of the last five Aprils. We also saw two no-hitters in the month of April for the first time since 1994. And if you count Madison Bumgarner's seven-inning no-no, which should be counted eventually by MLB, at least I hope so, it'd be the first year with three April no-hitters in MLB history. Are we well on our way to Year of the Pitcher Part 2? The numbers say yes.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
Yankees DH Giancarlo Stanton has been on a tear for the Yankees of late. And fans wanted him out of town not too long ago, and he's carried the team above 500 and towards the top in the AL East. JR, is it foul or fair to say that Stanton could be in the MVP contention now?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
Byron Buxton and Mike Trout are both hitting close to 400, but their teams don't respond to their greatness. On the other hand, Stanton's hot bat coincides with the Yankees' winning streak. Look at the numbers. During Stanton's 10-game hit streak, where the Yankees went 7-3, his slash lines went from 158 batting average, 238 OBP, and 333 slugging before the streak to 297 batting average, 343 OBP, and a 545 slugging, which is much more like it for a $300 million man. As mentioned, the Yankees are 7-3 in their last 10 games and have elevated from the cellar of the AL East to just 2.5 games behind Boston and charging hard behind the bat of this much maligned player. Yankees fans always want to choose a player to hate. It's what they do. It was A-Rod and now it's Stanton. But this guy has pedigree. He's a former MVP and he can flat out play. He hasn't been healthy. And now he looks like he's healthy enough finally to do what he wants to do as a player and what he's more than capable of doing as an elite slugger and black knight in the game. Everyone was calling him a boom or bust player. He only hits homers or strikes out. But he went 4-for-5 last night. And he has obliterated that narrative by spraying the ball to all fields on the ground and in the air. He has three or more hits in four of his last five games. That doesn't sound like a one-dimensional hitter to me. If the Yankees continue to rise in the standings and Stanton continues to rake at this pace, then you have to put him into the MVP conversation because his bat has elevated the Yankees out of the doldrums, and that's what they pay him the big bucks for. So people can stop asking. Stanton's here to stay, and it's foul for anybody to think otherwise.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
I hate doing this, but I have to do it since they've been laboring as of late. In fact, over the last couple weeks, I'm taking the Angels at home against the Dodgers on Friday night. Biggest reason for that is the pitching for Los Angeles has been good, but they're banged up. They got eight guys right now on the injury list, and their offense is just not in gear. Shohei Ohtani, Anthony Rendon, and of course, the league MVP in Mike Trout. I'm taking the Angels in the home game to open up things on a Friday night. Yankees and Nationals as well. I'm taking the Yankees in the home game against the Washington Nationals. Too many bats in the interleague matchup. I think Patrick Corbin and his 8.10 ERA are going to get roughed up in this thing. Also, I'm taking a road dog in the San Diego Padres. They head to the Bay Area against the San Francisco Giants. Blake Snell's been good so far this year. Only has a 1-0 record. The ERA, though, is sub-4 at 3.51. I'm taking the Padres and the Friars in this one to win up in the Bay Area. That's it for now. Let's make some coin, and I'll see you again back next week. See ya.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
Now let's welcome into the podcast Eric Bolin, who has covered the New York Yankees for Newsday. And Eric, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Really, really glad to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt. How many years has it been now that you've covered the Bronx Bombers? Because it seems like 15, but it might be less than that.
It's less than that, Rob, but slightly less. My first year was 2009, so this is year 13 for me.
Okay, that's not bad for a guest from me, but I know it's been a long time, and love to get your insight on the Yankees, who all of a sudden, going into Wednesday night, are red hot and have, you know, started to play better baseball. First, let's start with Giancarlo Stanton and what he's done with his 10-game hitting streak. What's happened? What's changed for him?
You know, he's talked repeatedly about adjustments that he's made in his swing and his approach. Going back to, you know, the right before this 10-game hitting streak, he was in one of the worst slumps of his career. It was 2-for-33, I believe, or 2-for-31, something like that, when the Yankees hit the road for an 8-game trip a week and a half or so ago. He was hitting 158 and was a complete mess, and of course getting booed on a nightly basis here at the stadium, which goes back to really his first year in pinstripes. But, you know, things changed, and I think that, you know, with opposing team scouts that I've talked to that follow the Yankees, say that, you know, it's almost as simple as being a little bit more selective and not going outside of the zone chasing bad pitches, which, you know, we've seen quite a bit from not only Giancarlo Stanton, but a lot of his teammates early on in this season. But he certainly seems to have recaptured some of the form that made him an MVP talent back in 2017 with the Marlins. And it's coincided, Rob, with the rest of the offense, which had been in a horrible, almost 3.5-4 week slump to start the season. Everyone, well, maybe not everyone, but quite a few of those guys, Stanton front and center in that, are starting to emerge from those you know, horrible first few weeks of the season.
No doubt, Eric. What about Gary Sanchez? What's happened to him? We know he can hit some long balls. He started off the season with a few, but the batting average, batting 180 going, I think he's batting 180 going into Wednesday night. Is this just who he's going to be or not?
I don't think so, Rob. I still, and maybe I'm in a dwindling minority, I think that he can be a quality big league catcher on an everyday basis. And I believe that because I've seen it. We haven't seen it in a couple of years, but we have seen it. Scouts and talent evaluators from other teams believe that too. And I really am starting to think, Rob, with him, that he might be the classic. And I hate the cliche, and you'll probably smile when I say it, but he might be the classic change of scenery guy, where he goes almost anywhere else, and every at bat, every wild pitch, every pass ball, every inning is not looked at as a referendum on his career, because that's really the situation he's at now with the Yankees and Yankee fans. He, far and away in my 13 years covering this team, is the most polarizing Yankee. Even when he was doing really well, there was a segment of the fan base that just didn't like him. And that has grown exponentially, obviously, as he struggled the last couple of years. So, you know, his number one backer in the organization has always been Brian Cashman, which is a good person to have as your number one backer. But indications are is that that's wavered a little bit as he has struggled in recent years. He would not be banished to the bench the way he has without Cashman, giving the okay on something like that. And really, this dates back to the 60-game season last year, Rob, when he got benched for the first time. I think it was in, mid-August when the Yankees were in Baltimore. And, of course, Kyle Higashioka caught five of the seven Yankees playoff games. So, you could almost look at what's happened this year as an inevitability, even though Sanchez was told and given the starter's job coming out of spring training, you could kind of see this coming, that if he did struggle, and he did at the plate, that Higashioka was probably going to take over. Is this season long? I don't know. We're still only, a month and a week into the regular season, but I would not be shocked if this is Gary Sanchez of last year with the Yankees.
Our guest is Eric Boland, who, of course, covers the New York Yankees for Newsday. Tell me about the pitching. We know about Garrett Cole. Corey Kluber, how has he fit into the Yankees' rotation?
Well, starting with each start, better and better. Rob, I know you follow this club pretty closely. For the first 5 weeks, it was Garrett Cole and everybody else, and not in a positive sense. Nobody was giving length. They were having to go into this potent bullpen far earlier on a nightly basis than they would have liked, because regardless of who they were trotting out there, other than Garrett Cole, it was a struggle for that pitcher to even finish five innings. Kluber was terrific his last time out, really looked like his former Cy Young self. He won two of those, of course, with Cleveland. The Yankees have believed all along that a healthy Corey Kluber, and they obviously believe that he is healthy, that he would slot in as really almost a co-ace with Cole. Cole is certainly at another level. Well, Jacob DeGrom is at a singular level, and then, Cole is probably right behind him. But they felt a healthy Corey Kluber, it really was a 1A, 1B, and Kluber's last outing, he certainly looked like that pitcher. So if you look at it collectively with the Yankees, and a lot of it has to do with the bullpen, obviously, but, they've got the lowest ERA in the American League, and there's no reason to think that's not going to continue. And what's really scary for opponents in the AL is that it seems like it's only a matter of time, and it's already started in the last week or so, that the offense does the same.
I was going to ask you about that bullpen, and of course Aroldis Chapman and company. Where is he? I know he's had his postseason struggles and things like that, but he looks like he's where the Yankees need him to be.
Rob, I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit. Was it a Chapman question?
Yeah, I was asking you about Aroldis Chapman, and where is he? We know the bullpen is really good for the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like the best closer in baseball right now, and the numbers are just off the charts, no matter which ones you look at. Obviously, the strikeouts to innings pitch jumps out the most, but he added a splitter, which is a pitch that he's kind of been refining and developing the last couple of years, and it's there. And it's there with his plus fastball, which has always been there. He throws it regularly, 99, 100, 101, followed by a slider that's turned into a plus pitch for him. And then he's added the splitter. And so he's got three plus pitches, basically, that he's coming out of the bullpen with. In a bullpen full of really good arms, he still stands out as above the rest of them because of that splitter that he has.
All right, his name, Eric Boland, the great baseball beat writer who covers the New York Yankees for Newsday, my friend. We appreciate you so much, Eric. Thanks for stopping by.
Rob, my friend, it's been too long. Look forward to seeing you in person at an All-Star game soon.
No doubt. I'll see you in Denver.
Look forward to it, Rob.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for Baseball.
Bravo!
A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. This is Jones, MLB Bro, content reporter. I woke up today and I had flashbacks of the 2014 and 2015 seasons where both the Giants and the Royals made the World Series. Two teams who most people consider to be shoe-overs on paper are both at the top of their respective divisions. The Giants, they show that pitching is the key to winning. Through 25 games on the season, their starting rotation's ERA is a 2.2. The Royals, on the other hand, show that speed kills. They rank third in the majors in stolen bases. Both teams display that they can win in other ways outside of just hitting home runs. Even though they have contrasting styles and they have their own separate approaches, they both have been able to reach the same destination on the season. That destination being winning.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Here's reason number 851 why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. Thank you so much, New York Yankee fans. They did not let up when the Astros showed up in the Bronx. Yes, the Bronx cheer was in full effect. They just kept booing them and booing them and booing them. The fans didn't get a chance to do it last year because of COVID and no fans at the ballpark, but the Yankee fans did not missed their moment to let the Astros have it. They felt they got cheated in that year 2017 in the ALCS when the Yankees lost to the Astros and, in fact, didn't win a game in Houston in that seven-game series. So, Yankee fans, bravo to you. The Astros deserve to get their boo tour all over the United States, and the Yankee fans in the Bronx did not disappoint. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.